This is a Just Gold podcast. This year, during the celebration of International Women's Day, I had a chat with my daughter. We talked about gender equality, the things that we have achieved, and all the problems that we need to solve. I left out a part during our conversation, as I was not sure whether my six-year-old could handle the following piece of information. I'm 44. In 6 years from now, I will become invisible. And in 44 years from now, she will become invisible too, unless things change. Welcome to the Invisible Woman podcast series. I'm Sofia Fatouras and I will guide you through this first episode. The Invisible Woman is an ongoing research project that aims to create awareness on a global issue. So what is the syndrome? Regardless of background, skills, class, opportunity, education, or professional path, once a woman hits 50, she's gradually excluded from fully participating in society, and her access to opportunity is very, very limited. So why is this happening? How do women end up with limited access to opportunity? Janet Large, the CEO of Women's Property Initiative, comes across the reasons behind the syndrome every day.
When was superannuation that became compulsory? In the 1990s. So some of those women may never have had to, for all that period of time before that, contribute to superannuation. They've then taken time out of the workforce. They've then worked part-time. They're coming into that older age where they have very little savings, very little superannuation to contribute to their housing if they're not partnered. So, with a partner who is earning. So if they have a death of a spouse, if they lose a job, if they have a health issue, if they have a marriage or divorce breakup, they can, be in dire situation. If they're relying on Centrelink payments and they're between 55 and 66, $279 a week. Can you find rental of that for that, let alone have money left over?
We work less, we still get paid less, and we live longer. This is our complex issue. Avril Henry has been researching women on a generational level for almost 30 years.
If you look at the generational split, you've got the young women, the Gen Ys, who are currently aged 21 to 36. Then you've got Generation X, who are aged 37 through to 52, 53. And then my generation, who are 54 through to 70, 71. What's interesting is I think that Generation X women, at this point in time, they're in the midst of their careers. For those who have chosen to have children, they've got young children. For a lot of educated Gen X women, they're often married to somebody who is educated with a career. And I think some of them are overwhelmed by the magnitude of a life that is so busy and so full with such high expectations of those women. And we can say what we like as a society, but we still have much higher expectations of women than we do of men.
Women are faced with two very, very difficult choices. One, the encouragement to pursue a career, to stay in that job, but ultimately to have children as well. And how you balance that is critical. In many ways, women, we're almost outsourcing a lot of that support networks that I've talked about, which came naturally from the family and from even the neighbourhood. We're outsourcing it. And I think in many ways, it's not working as well, perhaps, as it worked for me or others like me. I'm not the only person who would have been supported by their family. But the choice for women, Sophia, is always going to be my job, my career, or my responsibilities as a mum.
That was Maria Van Bakinu, Member of the Parliament, about the everyday struggles that we come across in our attempt to work and also have a family. It seems that women, especially working women, have a deep understanding of the problem. But as a team, the first challenge that we came across in our research was the deniers. Even though we do have evidence that this is a real problem, and the facts have been sitting on the desk of the UN Women since the 90s, we come across people every day that ask the same question. Is this a real problem? But then again, as a society, we have a very strange way to ask questions and make assumptions.
We never ask men to choose between a career and a family. We assume they can have it, because part of that assumption is based on the fact that if they've got a family, there is a wife at home looking after the children, if not full time, at least part time. Whereas we make women feel guilty who want to have a career and a family. And in some ways, we make it so hard for them in the workplace that women often feel they have no choice but to work part time or to ask for flexibility or to take time out for a couple of years when the children are really young. So as society, we force women to choose between a career and families. And for those women like me who had both and made a conscious choice to have both, we punish them by saying either you're not a good mother, and if you are a good mother, then somehow you're less committed to your work, your career, and achievements.
You're listening to the Invisible Woman podcast.
When I went to Parliament, I asked my male colleagues, do you know where your children are at this very minute? And most said no, because they're at home with my wife. You see, I knew and continue to know where they are. And that made it all the more difficult for me, because I wanted to continue to be totally involved in their lives, even though I was away. So that comes with being the woman.
Did you take a career break to have children and thought you were going to go back in a few years and find it hard to connect to the market? Or did you have to leave your career to become a full-time carer? Have you migrated from a foreign country and have trouble with employment? Was your life affected by a divorce or the death of your partner? If you're experiencing some of these, you need to know it's not you. It's not just you. It's happening to all of us. Some women, like Cynthia Wallis-Barnicle, founder of Books for Tonga, co-founder of Diaper Recycle, and member of Executive Committee of Melbourne's Women's Trust, thinks this invisibility is strongly linked with menopause.
I think it's strongly linked with menopause in that physically you change. So to the world, you're not perhaps, let's say, as youthful looking anymore. You're beginning to look like an older person, maybe towards being like a grandmother or somebody's mother. You're perhaps not seen as beautiful anymore. I don't know what's happening. But I've noticed myself, you go through a change whereby suddenly people call you ma'am, or they use older women's terms, which is fine. I've thought about this quite a lot since a friend of mine in her 60s said to me she felt now nobody's interested in her, or she'd be on the street and people would just knock into her and not treat her like a person.
You're listening to the Invisible Woman podcast.
Is it that we find that women are more confident at that age group, so they might seek divorce, or are people passing away earlier? So what's causing them to be a bit more isolated and alone? So I guess you have your friend network, you have your student network, you have your work network, you might have your mummy network, etc. But then what happens? Is it that they get so consumed in supporting their family that they actually forget about themselves?
Maybe that's part of the problem. Women get so consumed with everything they have to do that in the end, they forget about themselves. That was Georgina Poulos, Global Director People at T2 and Global Retail Operations. She's working on the issue from the perspective of work inclusion and is trying to shift the work culture. So what about you? Is there a woman that pops in your mind while we are talking? Is it your mother? Is it your sister? Is it your friend? Is it your wife? Is it you? And how are things in the more challenging industries, like hospitality? Angie Yanakodakis from Eleros and Epoca Restaurants.
The problem with us finishing up at around 40 to 45 is that because of the skill set we've also learnt, we can't apply that to just anything. You know, whether you're a chef or you're a front of house or, you know, in the service game, you don't have a lot of opportunities to translate what your skill base has been before into something else.
This is the Invisible Woman. And what happens after you give birth? Our research shows that many women went back to what they thought was their job, only to find out that their job had changed.
When I went back to work, my position description was sent to me a week before I went back to work, and it was a completely different job.
Yeah.
So I went from being an assistant brand manager, because I worked in marketing, to being a marketing coordinator, the same as everyone else in the department, and I remember those discussions.
That was Kathy Hayes. She now works as a photographer. So are the doors to the higher jobs still closed? Jo Kavanagh, CEO of Family Life, on the unconscious bias.
The doors to the higher, more influential jobs are still closed to women. So you still look at boards and it's nearly all men. You look at CEOs and it's nearly all men. So why are women who are highly educated and in fact are becoming more educated than their male cohorts, why are we not, on merit, ending up in the senior positions? And of course, there's a public debate about that, which says because we don't try or we don't want it or whatever. But in actual fact, the doors are closed. And we all know that the unconscious bias means that people who are already in those positions tend to appoint people who look like them. So if you're a white male of 50, you tend to appoint a white male of 50. So it's actually not good for our culturally diverse community either. Mm-hmm. And it means our culturally diverse young men are also missing out. So yes, feminism is an unfinished business, and there is talk about what's called the next wave, but I think there is this still traditional role delineation that without a very intentional approach just kind of seeps back in and takes over.
It looks like gender is linked to poverty. Avril Henry explains why.
Over a career span of between 30 and 40 years, a woman will earn $1 million less than a man. And that's a lot of money if you think about superannuation and retirement. And my concern for my generation of women is we have not had compulsory super until much later in our careers. So for Generation X and Y women who work full-time, and thank God we're starting to talk about giving women superannuation while they're on maternity leave, those women will have greater protection in terms of financial stability in their retirement. My generation of women, we know, do not have enough money in their superannuation funds to sustain them for retirement, which now is going to last up to 30 years. We are living much longer than we did 100 years ago. And women of my generation are at enormous risk of finding themselves living in poverty, because ageism says we don't hire people over 50, male or female, but if you've got a choice between a man or a woman over 50, you're going to hire the man. Yet women are more collaborative. Women are more likely not to rock the boat, which may or may not be the best thing, but women tend to also be more loyal to the organisation and its people, but also more conscious of security. So women are less risk takers than men are, so they're more likely to stay in a job.
But is it just gender, or do we have an ageism problem on top of everything? Cynthia Wallis-Barnicott shares her recent job-seeking experience.
Through what I read and through what I see, and through being a member of the Melbourne Women's Fund, the types of applications that are coming through, I see that there is a problem with ageism, in that I think people are now finding it's harder to find somewhere to live because maybe they haven't got as much money. I mean, there's a whole lot of factors involved in that. But I think for myself, recently having been applying for jobs, and over the last few years actually applying for different jobs, I've really wondered if I'm not getting something or getting near to an interview because I'm clearly older.
You're listening to the Invisible Woman podcast.
I think that when women take time out for career breaks, whether it's to have children, to care for a parent or a family member, etc., it's how do we transition them back so that they feel connected.
That was Georgina Poulos. Jo Kavanagh will now describe what is happening to women over 50 these days. We are experiencing, as she says, a perfect storm.
Here they are now at the end of a career if they've had one, or they've been unemployed for some time and they need to re-establish themselves. They were expecting to have a retirement with their husband's superannuation or to be comfortably looked after, and now they've got nothing. We're actually seeing the increase in homelessness amongst women 50 plus, and the research has come out now that's really validated that what people have seen on the streets, which is an increasing presence of women,
yes,
older and younger, is in fact supported by the research. So it's kind of like a perfect storm of research coming through, of awareness of what we see and getting feedback from the, you know, 5,000 plus families that we would have seen, as well as just thinking as we do about, so what does this mean?
Women constantly fear underemployment and unemployment. There are many barriers that hold us back from claiming our seats on the table. Stop caring about what other people think and escaping the guilt trip are some of the obstacles we have to overcome.
You can ignore the community if you want to. You can choose to say, I don't care what people think, I will do this my way. But you can't totally escape your inherent instinct.
This is the Invisible Woman.
Those of us who have learned, and this is really important, those of us who've learned not to care what other people think about us are holding up pretty well. In fact, we're holding up so well, we'll tell you how we think and what we think. But of course, women, in my view, still care too much, in broad terms, what other people think about them.
We don't have to accept social injustice. We are used to accepting it, but we don't have to. The COVID-19 outbreak revealed something really important. The virus is not gender neutral. Almost 60% of all retail workers in Australia are women, and that is a sector that has been hit hard by the virus outbreak. Almost 80% of those working in the healthcare and social assistance sectors are women, and they have also caring responsibilities. So women's financial and physical health, and most importantly, mental health, is more on the line than men's, now more than ever. And keep in mind that they get paid less. So we need to start talking. We need to take better care of women in their 50s, support women in their 40s who are trying to reconnect to the market, inform women in their 30s about what is going on so that they make better decisions. And we need to start planning.
Some things have changed, but we have to make sure that other, you know, more than that changes so this doesn't happen in the future. So the requirement of superannuation, absolutely. The fact that some people are pushing to have superannuation continue to be employed when women are taking leave for maternity leave and for caring for children. So those sorts of movements are really good, and policy changes are really good, but government has to get back behind it and insist that that is a requirement to make sure that that change happens in the future.
That was Janet Large. You're listening to the Invisible Woman podcast. Just before the end of this first episode, Maria Vambakino.
Who goes around every day thinking about how long they're going to live? Planning for your retirement doesn't really start to happen until you get closer to the retirement. And that's probably now becoming an obvious issue in the sense that you're supposed to start planning a lot earlier so that when you get closer to retirement, you've actually, your plan for retirement is there. A lot of women, if we're talking about women in particular, who go on to marry and have families, that is their retirement plan.
This is a conversation starter, and it may sound like one exclusively for women, but in reality it's about equity. And as the world is changing, it's becoming more of a conversation about age equity. We don't have to take care only of women, we need to take care of each other. If this is of interest, subscribe to our podcast and follow us on our social media pages. We would like to listen to your story too. We see you. Stay visible.
This was a Just Gold podcast. Find out more about our social enterprise at justgold.net.